you sort of know that there's a shortage going on.
Yes.
If there's a big bagyo in Luzon and knocks over all the banana plantations, what's going to happen to the price of bananas?
Of course, it goes high.
Yeah, it's going to go up. If there's a big storm in Cebu, knocks over the pineapples.
And the mangoes.
And the mangoes. The fantastic mangoes. Yes. I like those chocolate mangoes.
Yes. I haven't tried that one yet.
So it's a very simple issue. I believe that the councils all around New Zealand have not actually released any land for 30 years. It's heartbreaking. So in Auckland, the price of a residential section has gone up in real terms from about $100,000 to about $500,000.
Oh, my.
So when you buy a house in Mount Albert, where we're sitting here on Planet FM, for $1 million, the land is 65%. Actually, I got my figures wrong before. Wasn't thinking straight. The land is now $650,000.
Whereas before, how much would it be?
It used to be about 20% of purchase price. Here in the Philippines, it's the same. Whenever you buy a house all around the world in a free market for land, it's about 20% of purchase price. But with complete restriction on land, same as the mangoes and the pineapples, if 80% of the pineapples were knocked over, the price would probably triple. Now, normally in a properly working market, when things go up in price, a lot of suppliers rush in and fill the market. So when oil has gone up in price, when OPEC, which is a cartel, get together and restrict supply, other places around the world like Indonesia open up all their old oil wells and try and increase the supply. So the price of oil goes up for a while and then it drops again. But in New Zealand, because the land supply is run by the council, and I think we have to be honest, the council planners, I think with respect, are extreme green. They don't want to release any land because they think that releasing farmland is bad for the environment. But I don't think it is, particularly as cows fart a lot. They put out a lot of greenhouse gas.
Carbon dioxide.
And the farms are actually covered in nitrates. There's a lot of nitrogen on the farms. So if you look at the actual figures, the council used to release about 600 hectares of land a year in the 70s. That was when our population was about half. Greenfield land, rural land. But after 1988, when they put the Metropolitan Urban Limit in, the amount of land dropped. Greenfield land release went to zero. So everyone had to do infill housing. So I'm saying that in the last 30 years, they should have released 30 lots of 600 hectares, which if you do your maths quickly, that's about 20,000 hectares. And there's a backlog of 20,000 hectares, Virginia. So under the new unitary plan, it's horrifying. What they're planning to do is over the next 30 years... It's a very exciting plan. They're going to release 15,000 hectares.
Why now, all of a sudden 15,000?
Yeah, there's a shortage of 20,000 hectares built up over the last 30 years. Imagine if the car supply had halved. Imagine if suddenly all the ships coming to New Zealand sunk, all the Toyotas and the BMWs went into the sea.
Yeah, true.
And only half the cars turned up. What would happen to the price of cars? It would permanently go up.
Yeah.
And I think, with respect, there'd be a backlog of demand. So what I'm saying is there's a massive backlog of demand. And the only way out of this crisis, and it is a crisis, you know, I live in Sunny Nook. And, you know, I go, go out for dinner. And there's people driving around, as you've probably seen, late model BMWs. What's that being bought on? That's been bought on revolving mortgage accounts on the car. So they're happy as Larry. But there's a lot of, with respect to the Filipino community, there's a lot of Filipinos and New Zealanders and Maori and Pacific and Kiwis, of course, that cannot buy a house. The average mortgage on $1 million property with a 10% deposit, $1,500, guess what? Is that a week or a month? It's a week. $1,500 a week.
That's the current at the moment.
So if a young person, young family, buys a house with a 10% deposit in Auckland, $1,500 a week, it's a lot.
Yeah, too much. Good if there are two income earners in the house, but if it's only one, no way can they...
And that's not taken into account. The current interest rate is at rock bottom at the moment. When every point basis that the interest rate will go up, that would even be worse. The repayments, it's so bad.
Exactly. I think the problem is, Trini, is that if there's a crisis, say if there's an unemployment crisis, as you say, say if interest rates go up. Say if interest rates go up from what? What is it now, about 4%?
Right now, you're actually looking at 3.55 at the moment, fixed for 1 year. This is all interest rates,
A lot of economists think that all around, a lot of cities have done this all around the world, have restricted land supply. And the problem is it destabilizes the property market, because if there's a change, like an increase in interest rates, the whole housing market's been destabilized. Because people are paying such huge mortgages. If it goes up, it will crash very quick.
Very quickly.
Yeah, which is what happened in the GFC, where a lot of cities in the States have got the same policy as New Zealand, the smart growth. So a lot of cities have land restrictions. It tends to be the liberal cities, LA, New York, San Francisco, Portland. So all the cities that have land restrictions have a lot of homeless people. And high house prices. Yeah. And when the GFC hit, those cities were massively affected.
You can imagine that. Right, that's very interesting.
But I think people think that the housing crisis is caused by low interest rates or immigration. They're blaming the Chinese and the Filipinos. That's rubbish. Because... I hope there's no British people out there, but in the 1950s, we had 10-pound POMs. Huge numbers of Brits came into New Zealand in the 50s. And the immigration flow was actually higher than it is now. And house prices didn't go up. Why? Because any farmer in New Zealand could subdivide his or her land. And as soon as the prices started to go up, every farmer would go, ooh, I'll sell my plantation and put houses on it. And a lot of the cities in the States that don't have land supply controls have got massive inward migration, like Houston and Dallas. They've got the fastest population growth rates, but you can still buy a house for about $250,000 because there's no land supply controls. So it's... And also, they've got low interest rates, Srini, so it's not interest rates, it's not immigration, it's land supply. Because when you think about it, land is one of the few goods which is controlled by bureaucrats, and they don't care. They're green. I don't want to be cheeky, but I call them green gentry, because either they don't know or they don't care about low-income Kiwis. Because there's a lot of couples out there. Imagine the stress, $1,500 a week mortgage.
Yeah.
2 to 3 jobs a week, cleaning, accountant, lawyer, whatever. One of my friends almost had a nervous breakdown because his girlfriend walked out on him. And he had a $1,500 a week mortgage. Very stressful.
Very stressful. Yes.
And so I've set up a new political party, Lift NZ. We're trying to get support. And I'm standing as mayor to get publicity, to be honest. So, and we're also concerned about congestion. If you think about it closely, is what I'm saying is that Auckland, I don't know how long you guys have been here, but for about 30 years we've been following smart growth. So what you do is you ring fence the city, you put this metropolitan urban limit around it, and you say, look, we're going to jam everyone in the city and we're going to densify it, but like turn it into Cebu or Hong Kong. Well, Hong Kong's the goal. So when the city's really dense, hopefully people will jump on a bus or a train. Have you guys got any idea how many people take buses and trains in Auckland? 3%. It's tiny. Now, I think there's a place for it for low-income people, but it's not going to solve congestion.
No.
They've poured billions into it. Part of the problem, I think, is that the nature of cities has changed. You know, in the old days, 80% of Auckland's jobs were in the CBD. Now
it is scattered.
Yeah, it's scattered, exactly. You know more than the planners know. The jobs are in the Manukau Mall, Albany Mall. It's it's gone from being monocentric to polycentric. People are working on the internet. So, and that sort of polycentric dispersed model, to me, public transport can never work. Well, it'll help people get to certain jobs in the CBD. It's actually wealthy people.
Yeah.
I used to be a lawyer in the city. The only people in the CBD now are what? Accountants, lawyers and students. And the working guys and women.
In the suburbs.
Yeah, in the suburbs. They're taking a car to work. Like how can you get a train from Henderson to Manukau at a factory?
Exactly. Three rides.
You can't. So, to me, this is the worst-run city in the Western world. This is an extremely undensely populated country. The Philippines, you guys got 100 million in the same size city, our country. We've got 3 million. We've got the council has created an artificial shortage of land. You know, 0.6 of 1% of Auckland is urbanised. 0.6 of 1% of New Zealand is covered in houses. There's no shortage of land, and yet the council has created a shortage, driven up house prices, and created massive traffic congestion because you've got twice as many people living in the same size city. Common sense tells you that if you double the density, you double the traffic. And we've actually got quite bad traffic congestion. For traffic nerds out there, there's a thing called the TomTom Index. And that actually measures traffic congestion. Now, in New Zealand, in Auckland, at peak, it takes 40 minutes on average to get to work. A lot of cities our size in America, like Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma, it takes 20 minutes.
Huff.
Yeah, so we've actually created very bad congestion. Like, I've been coming here 50 years. Auckland didn't used to be congested. So what I'm saying we do is we get rid of the urban boundary, we increase Auckland by 50% in size because we need to. And if you spread the city out, that'll create less traffic and decrease land prices all at the same time. Mr. Gough got a report 2 years ago from this economic consultancy called the Sense Consultancy. And they said that there was a house shortage in Auckland of 200,000 because they haven't released any land. It's very sad.
Is there a law that prohibits them from releasing the land?
Yeah, the metropolitan urban limit. It's a line on a map, which, you know, I used to be a lawyer. The Resource Management Act was set up to be permissive. But the Environment Court amazingly said that putting a line on a map, imagine if you had drawn a line around Manila 30 years ago and said you can't develop Manila outside this line. What would have land prices done in Manila? Would have gone nuts, wouldn't it? Do you guys agree?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just... but I think environmentalism has become a new sort of religion. And we're being told what to do by 15-year-olds.
Yeah, be green.
And I'm not, I've been a surfer for like 40 years. And I'm not saying build a house in Piha, build houses in Piha. I'm saying, look, develop the farms in Silverdale, Kumu. They're full of cows. There's a lot of nitrate on them. The only way to solve the housing crisis, we believe, is to crash the price of land. How do you crash the price of anything? Well, I don't want to get the banana thing's a bit boring, but if there's a shortage of bananas, you have to bring in more bananas.
True.
There's no way around it. It's we are facing a problem. This is a very clean, green country, but what is more important, a cow or a human? Or what is more important, a farm in Silverdale or putting young families on there? What damage are you doing to the environment by putting families on a farm? Mm-hmm. I can't really see the damage to the environment. Now, God bless our two main political parties, but Labor has failed.
Mm-hmm.
National may not want to do it. You mean, I admire Nick Smith because he bought in the special housing areas. You know, people might think I'm nuts because you look around Auckland and you see all these houses going up near Silverdale, but all those houses were forced on the council. They're called special housing areas.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Smith told the council, I'm going to put the Special Housing Area Act in.
Mm.
Almost all those houses you see out there, have you seen them, Trini? There's houses out in Pocono, Whenuapai.
Yes.
That whole Whenuapai thing, Hobsonville.
Mm. Yeah.
That was forced on the council. They had to do it. I used to go to parties at the council. One of my best friends is a town planner.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all town planners hate, in New Zealand, hate any form of development. You know, the Filipino community might not believe that. This country hates any form of development. And that sounds good and green, but what about low-income people?
True. As a matter of fact, I know young Filipinos with families, but with two income. Obviously, we like to own our own house. We think that that's a measure of success.
Yes.
So they dive in and they buy into this. They are lured into this subdivisions, new developments from outside of Auckland. When they are already there, that's when they realize that, hi, I'm paying too much, and what about my other commitments or whatever?
I think statistics can be a little bit boring, but as you say, the housing costs in New Zealand in the last 30 years, housing costs have gone up from 20% of the average wage to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And house ownership has dropped from around about 70% to about 60%. I don't know about you, but with $1,500 a week mortgages, what do you think it'll drop to? In 50 years' time, I would estimate, unless we solve this, 10% of young Kiwis alone? What do you guys think? I mean, I'm just guessing.
Mm.
What, 10%? And that
we are both landowners, and we hate to look at the future.
Yes,
but I think you've got to think. We've got to think clearly and objectively, because a lot of people are very happy with the so-called housing crisis.
Mm.
A lot of people have come. Maybe all of us here.
Mm.
I've got a house,
but
you've got to think of the future. Now, I don't know if you guys have got kids or grandkids, but I've got a child.
Mm-hmm.
In 40 years' time, imagine retiring without a house.
Exactly.
Now, the pension's about, $350 a week? Something like that?
$249.
Seriously?
I think my husband is on a pension right now. So.
$249.
That is so because he is still working part-time.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm talking about the retirement pension.
Yeah.
$250 that low.
Around about $250 or $269. Mm-hmm. It's less than $300 anyway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now,
a week.
Yeah. And what's the average rental?
Is that a week?
Yeah.
That's a full pension.
Full pension. Full pension a week.
Mm-hmm. And so imagine if you're retiring out in Pakuranga, Howick, Otara, your pension is going to be less than your rental.
Correct,
yes.
Mm. Now, the Filipino family is very strong, and you've got the Filipino community may actually be able to rely.
Mm.
You might have to ask people in the Philippines to send money to you because you might be homeless.
That could happen because those young ones who started off here thinking that they went for a greener pasture, and especially those who are from two or three children family. So mama and papa at home would be glad to help that because one son or one daughter is buying a house in New Zealand, oh yes, I'll send you 150,000 as your deposit, something. But if the daughter and the husband, whatever, can't manage it, obviously they will ring Mama and Papa again. We need help.
Yeah.
And more than likely, the parents at home would help.
Yeah.
But where does that lead them to?
Yeah.
Mm.
And just to get back to my stats, as you say, it's a real disaster because from the 1880s, if you look at the boring stats books, from the 1880s to the 1980s, houses in New Zealand and still in the Philippines and all around the world are around the average house, the whole world up until the 1980s, cost about 3 times median family income. Mm-hmm. Now, so I think the Philippines median income would be what, about 120,000 pesos a year, or no, less?
Less, I think, less. Because the average were probably about, what, 10
pesos?
10,000 a month?
10,000, maybe less than that.
Mm.
Yeah, a month.
Yeah, so say if it's 100,000 pesos, you'd probably find the average house in the Philippines costs about 300,000 pesos. I mean, there's obviously a huge amount of people that don't own a house in the Philippines. But anyway, in New Zealand, the average house price until the 1980s was 3 times income. And I'm getting all my stats here from the Productivity Commission, which is a top government body that looks into, and also Demographia, which is an internationally renowned website. Our former Prime Minister, Bill English, wrote an editorial on it. Also Don Brash, he used to be our Reserve Bank Governor, he wrote an editorial. Now, Don Brash says that house prices in New Zealand, and I'm quoting him here, is an artificial scarcity in land created by the councils.
Mm.
So I found all this information out by looking at these websites. Our former Reserve Bank Governor and our former 6-year Prime Minister agree with me. The councils are to blame. And a lot of economists think that it's actually quite a fascinating issue. It's actually a bit boring, housing. But a lot of economists think that inequality around the world has actually increased in the last 30 years. And they actually blame the same thing. Radical Greens won't release any land anywhere. This is a worldwide issue. And I am green. I think we have got a greenhouse gas problem and we have to reduce, but there's other ways to do it. The rationale for smart growth and ring fencing these cities and not allowing land supply out was to reduce greenhouse gases. Phil Goff thinks that if you put up a metropolitan urban limit, it will, because of the density, it will force people to jump on a bus or a train. Now, the council's done not one research analysis to verify that, because only 3% of Auckland has actually take a bus or a train.
Most of them still take their cars.
Yes, because how can you take your kids to a soccer game in a train?
Exactly.
80% of trips are in the weekend. And 80% of the jobs are in suburbia. Public transport cannot. Trying to encourage people to get onto public transport has failed. Now, by ring-fencing the cities, you've doubled all the house prices in New Zealand from 3 times income to 6.5 times income. So our houses might have doubled in value, but you've cost all young Kiwis an extra $300,000 because their mortgage has gone from over their house, the debt they're going to have, their utang.
The utang
is doubled. So their utang has doubled from $300,000 to $600,000. Now the goal of all this is to reduce greenhouse gases. Or more particularly, the goal of it is to stop greenhouse gases from transport in the city. If we put a line around the city, it'll reduce greenhouse gases by getting people onto public transport. Now, okay, that's costing $300,000. What if we just bought everyone an electric vehicle? That's about $60,000. and it would accomplish the same thing for about a fifth the price. So with this environmental analysis, we have to look very coolly and calmly and scientifically. You know, I don't want to be arrogant. I've got a law degree in a science degree, but I like stats.
Mm-hmm.
And the stats don't make sense. If you look at these things coolly and calmly, unlike 15-year-olds who are emotional and mm-hmm. idealistic,
mm-hmm.
I'm not being cheeky to 15-year-olds out there, but the fact is all the cities in the world that have ring-fenced themselves have created massive inequality. The house prices have doubled, mm-hmm. and there's better ways to reduce greenhouse gases. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's my mm-hmm. policy. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit complicated, mm-hmm. But I think I'm backed up by science
mm.
and cool and calm objective analysis. So I agree with greenhouse gas issue, but making our cities very dense doesn't work. Mm. There's actually a few slightly interesting issues that the basic mantra of Phil Goff, as you're probably aware, is to stop building standalone houses.
Yeah.
They want to put another 600,000 people. Sorry. But before 2050, the population of Auckland is predicted to increase by about 600,000 in the next 30 years. They want to put 65% of all those people into the existing footprint.
Mm-hmm.
The metropolitan urban limit's been renamed the rural urban boundary, so they want to put 65% of all those people into Mount Albert.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This used to be a farm, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to, and 35% into these new future growth areas. Now, if you put 65% of 600,000 people, what's that, about 400,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
400,000 more people, there is no spare land in Auckland. It's all urban, it's all infill. It's going to have to be apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you build apartments, it creates, there's a greater amount of concrete per section than there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not much grass. When you've got a lot of concrete, you actually increase the runoff of the rain and the sewerage into the sea. Mm-hmm. Covering everything in concrete, to my point of view, increases pollution. And it's going to be I suppose I can't say any H words in here. Good Catholic beside me. It's got to be a very stressful city.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, you know, we're over 40.
Mm.
Imagine being here in 40 years' time.
Mm.
This whole city is going to be covered in apartments. Now, another funny sort of thing is that when you increase the density of a place, when a car goes down the road, it actually puts out more greenhouse gases, I think, my understanding of science.
Mm-hmm.
A bit cheeky here.
Mm.
It puts out more greenhouse gases under the speed of 20 kilometres an hour than it does at about 100k.
Mm.
So when you densify a city, you get traffic congestion. That's sort of a semi-scientific fact. Because
mm-hmm.
people, I don't know about you guys, won't get on buses and trains. They can't.
Yeah.
They can't. You can't get to work. So...
Mm-hmm.
People are forced to drive and there's more congestion. Now, when you get more congestion, you actually get more greenhouse gases because all the traffic is slowed right down. And it's a scientific fact that cars put out a lot more, it actually triples the amount of, a car travelling at 10k puts out a lot of nitrous oxide and big long names, you know, something, hexafluoride or something, but it puts out a lot more nitrogen greenhouse gases at slow speed than high speed. So the entire rationale for destroying our city, knocking down all these beautiful old, they want to knock down all these villas around here in Mount Albert, put up ugly apartments, for what? For no purpose at all. It's doubled our house prices and it won't reduce greenhouse gases. It's a complete waste of time. It's heartbreaking.
Mm.
Because this city was beautiful. It was the most livable in the world. But it's going to become, it's going to stay very expensive and it's going to get even more polluted.
Yeah.
So Phil Goff is offering zero solutions. He is 100% behind smart growth. Now, I partly agree with John Tamahiri. Now, obviously, one of these two guys is going to win. I'm not going to win. I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find most sad, your president ran on actual policies.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you agree with him or not,
mm-hmm.
he had a policy, especially mm-hmm. around drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the drugs issue, just before I get into that,
mm-hmm.
imagine if Mr. Duterte's war on drugs works and the amount of shabu coming into the Visayas, Luzon, drops by 80%.
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to do to the street value of shabu? It's going to go through the roof, isn't it? It's the same here. So, drugs, apples, whatever you do, if you cut the supply of something, prices goes up through. But anyway, I admire Duterte because he's an old-fashioned, in some ways, he's an old-fashioned politician who actually had policies. Now, I don't know about you, but you drive around Auckland now, and none of the billboards have got any policy. Yeah. Mr. Gough says, I love living in Auckland. It's a beautiful place. He doesn't address house prices. His council causes it. Now, it would be difficult for him to change it because it would require it does actually require the council to change a unitary plan. But he is not advocating for increasing land supply. I was at a public meeting with him the other day. And he came out and said, look, the unitary plan is fantastic. And I think there's a misapprehension in Auckland that the council has solved it with this new unitary plan because it has got some future urban growth areas. But as I said before, if you look at it, at the fine print, it's going to release about 30,000 hectares over the next 30 years. And that is tiny. That's about 5% of Auckland's land area. And now the City Council has not released any land for 30 years, which is, you know, if you adjust it for the per capita population, they should have released about 80,000 hectares. So there's a massive backlog of demand for housing, and the unitary plan has not resulted in land prices dropping. Would you agree on that? House prices haven't dropped, have they, in the last two years?
No.
Now, in my opinion, it's because it doesn't actually release any land. And land is the source of the problem.
Yeah, they're very expensive, definitely. Because when I bought my land before, it was only 24,000 for a 700 square metre in West Auckland.
What year was that, Trini?
1989.
Yeah.
89. Yeah. That's before all of these apartments
came up.
Gone up. Mm. Yeah. And now, gosh, I don't know. You can't buy land anymore.
I think young people have given up. Have they given up trying to buy a house?
They haven't even tried, I suppose. My daughter will not even think about buying a house because they can't.
The same, your son will not.
Is she thinking of leaving New Zealand? Is she thinking of leaving?
Not in that sense as yet, because she's just happy renting at the moment. But she's every now and then she brings up something like, "Mom, can we use the equity of your house, right?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, helping you with equity is one thing. But how about the actual debt?
Yeah.
You can't afford it.
The repayment.
Because the actual debt is, you know, is 100% technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not. I mean, it's an apartment. Because one time we look at an apartment and it was 700,000.
I think part of the problem, Trini, is that it's a bit boring, but apartments actually cost twice as much per square metre to build. Did you? I didn't know that until I did my boring research, but apartments are actually quite expensive to build. And if you look at the actual breakdown, the poor old property developer buys a bit of land, around about $20 million per hectare here in Mount Albert. He goes out and buys some concrete, gets some labour, builds the apartment block, and then adds on a 20% profit margin. Now, the Productivity Commission has studied the apartment market. The costs of concrete and timber and labour, this is a low-wage economy, hasn't actually gone up in real terms ever. Only the houses have got a lot bigger.
Yes.
Everyone says, oh, well, it's the nasty builders, they're building these big, expensive houses.
Yeah.
But it's not actually true. All that's happened is that the land has gone up. And given that apartments cost twice as much, by the time the developers built the apartment, even the smallest legal section, smallest legal apartment in Auckland is 35 square metres. This room we're sitting in here, you know, for the listeners, it's about 5 metres by 5 metres. Mm. This is probably 25 square metres.
Mm.
A tiny shoebox apartment, what is it, 400,000?
Yeah.
And all that's reflecting is the land price plus construction. You have to put an apartment on land.
Correct.
And so it's not the problem in New Zealand is not the construction cost.
The land.
It's the dirt. The dirt's expensive.
Yeah.
The only way to crash the price of dirt is to release a huge, huge amount of it. At least half the size of Auckland has to be put or zoned residential tomorrow. If you look at the unitary plan, it's not releasing any land in large amounts ever.
No. And how much of that land is in our unitary plan at the moment?
Very little. They're going to release about 15,000 square hectares over the next 30 years. And a lot of that's going to be for apartments. So I don't think it's going to work.
Right. And on that note, let's hear some music and then we'll continue on. Okay. Here you go for all your listeners out there. Here is an offering of Batu Batu Sa Langit by Nora Honor.
Oh, bakit na ba? Wala pa kay Eva. Di na maiwasan ang magkasala. Sa pagkabata, hanggang tumanda ka. Ang tukso'y nag-aabang sa'yo tuwi na. Bato, bato sa langit. Tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang mayroong babae akong kilala. Huwag mong masaling at sobrang suplada. Tipong disente at ang sorpresa. Lumaki ang tiyan kayong siya'y talaga. Bato-bato sa langit, tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang mayroong babae, ayaw kumatol. Sa walang kotse ay ayaw humabol. Napangasawa kayong kumatol. Ay tsuper pala sa amo ang datsko. Bato-bato sa langit, tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang may kakilala akong lalaki. Pantalong maong at sobra siyang groovy. Ngunit siya'y sayang kahit na pogi. Naspo-naspo lang dehin sa palagoli. Bato-bato sa langit, tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang mayroon sa akin ay pumarada. Ako ay impressed at sobrang kumasta. Executive daw, subalit teka, nakulong pagkat espalkador pala. Bato-bato sa langit, tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang.
This song is from Milbert's Hard to Find Music Library.
Bato-bato sa langit, tama ay huwag magalit. Ang masaktan ay pangit, walang butas ang.
Ibig ko pamansin. Di mo ba alam, ako'y nasasaktan. Ngunit di pa linawastan, malaman mo na. Mahal kita, hindi mo wala. Hindi ka man lang sana, ako'y nasa langit na. Katulad na rin ng buong inaasam. Mahal kita, mahal kita. Hindi ko wala. Hindi ka man lang sana, ako'y nasa langit na. Mahal kita, mahal kita. Hindi ko wala. Sumabot ka naman, wag lang.
Ayan.
Do I speak?
We have just heard our mayoral candidate in Auckland, David Feist, about his housing program for all of us. Now, we will go to the second generation Filipinos, and one of them is majoring or studying property, about to graduate soon, and it is just a pity that he just arrived by now, because all of us are from the Peña Francia Fiesta. He would have been the right one to reply to all those the policies that David put to us. But it will be recorded. We will try and recap it, and hopefully, Vincent, you can come up with a rebuttal or an approval, and then you can share it with us. You come another time.
Yes. Sure.
Radio.
Sure. Yeah. Love to.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have got four visitors here today, second generation Filipinos. Michael Fajardo. Harry Infante.
Hello.
Jaffe Clark. Who is in between New Zealand and Australia. And of course, Vincent Sakai, the one I mentioned earlier, who is about to graduate. He is majoring in, or rather, taking commerce, Bachelor of Commerce and Property. That's a conjoint degree, majoring in commercial law and marketing. So, greet your fellow Kiwis and fellow Filipinos. Vincent.
Awesome. Kamusta ka na po? Thank you for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be in amongst your presence and be delivering and talking to you guys today about my life and where I've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thanks for having me here, po, Tita. Salamat.
Yeah, you were very young when you started coming here.
Yeah, it's gosh, it's been a like since I started, you know, it's been, yeah, mm-hmm. Gosh.
When you started community service, one of them being sacristan, you understand what a sacristan is, David?
Voila.
An altar
service boy. Yeah, yeah,
altar yeah. Server.
Kasabot
ko. Server. Kasabot ka, yeah. Oh,
sorry. But he is very good in music. He is a violinist, actually, and a grade awesome. 8 already.
Yes.
So he on community events, he always shares his passion of music, and he plays the violin. And that's, of course, community service, so that's no charge, because he did not graduate or he did not study economy. Like economics, right?
I took a paper, but mm-hmm. Introductory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and majoring in
communication arts
is Jaffe. She is actually the oldest daughter of our very good friend, who is also Susan Clark, who is also in between New Zealand and Australia. And at the moment, this young Jaffe, she is only 22 or 20, nearing 23 or so. I missed your 21st when I was in Sydney. Yeah. With her degree of communications, she is already helping her mom manage her business, travel business in Australia and even in New Zealand whenever she is overseas. So, Jaffe, can you please greet our listeners?
And hi, everyone. Yourself. Kamusta po kayong lahat? Mm-hmm. Hi, thank you for having me here po.
Dalaga na. And tell all of us what's your mom's travel agency?
Yeah.
And
mom is she have travel agency in Sydney, and we're based in Kellyville. Mm-hmm. We're home base, mm-hmm. and we can book you all around the world whenever you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. And when she says we are home based, that home is 8 rooms. So that's the White House.
One
in Sydney.
Office.
And that is where the Catholic not actual conferences, but private conferences happens.
Yeah. Secret place.
Secret place where the higher ups of the Catholic Church go, including the higher up of Auckland, and including me.
It's not a secret anymore.
They don't know exactly what I meant. I might be drunk of tuba that I drank at the fiesta today.
You have tuba there? No.
Privately.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And these two gentlemen. Michael, are you related to June? I mean, your father is...
Oh, yeah, my dad's June Fajardo.
I thought so. Yeah. So you are the son of June Fajardo. Yeah. Mm.
You look very familiar.
Mm. In the family of Pascuals.
Yes.
So, yeah. June and Ruby Pascual. Yeah. Your father is the brother of Nang Ruby.
Yes, correct.
Oh,
so,
I was right.
Ruby's mine.
So, well and truly, second generation Filipino. Mm. And have you graduated already too?
Yes.
Great.
In Bachelor of Business, I majored in Marketing and Management.
Mm-hmm. In the University of Auckland as well?
Auckland University of Technology. So
AUT. In the city.
Yes, yeah. In the city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, congratulations. So you're working now?
Yes, I'm working mm-hmm. now.
Where at?
Just for IAG insurance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can use your marketing expertise in there? Not yet.
No, so right now I just work in the insurance claims team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. As a start. Yes. But very soon you will find where you studied for.
We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Great. And how about you, Harry? Harry Infante. We have got this... Pinay writer, a Filipino woman who wrote a play bilingually. So the language spoken in there is English and Maori. The same name, not related?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Never mind. You're also a graduate. We will deal with that later. You're also a graduate of Auckland University?
No. Already from AUT.
AUT.
With a bachelor's degree of business, major in marketing.
The same.
Yeah, same mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I graduated last month.
Uh-huh.
Pretty recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're looking for a job now?
I have a job right now.
Already? Good on you. Where do you work?
Chemist Warehouse.
Mm, fantastic. So what do you do there?
Pharmacy assistant. Mm-hmm. Pretty much like with... Assisting with sales, mm-hmm. or like, I think there's like a bit of market.
Is that in Henderson?
On Queen Street.
Queen town. Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. opening soon. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good start. At least you are earning money. Then yeah. Once you are a little bit settled, you know what you know where your money will go to.
Yeah.
Then you can look for the correct job that you studied for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that brings us to why are you hanging out with Attorney Vincent.
I'm not sure about attorney.
Soon.
Soon.
And before I forget, David, all of these visitors of us are Auckland voters. They are registered. Yeah.
So you receive your papers to vote? Have you already received your papers?
Not yet.
You would have seen David's name on it as a mayor candidate.
You've got 5 weeks to vote, so there's no hurry.
Yeah, but do it soon.
Yeah. Did you receive it already, your voting papers?
I have mine. I have mine. Yeah. Yesterday, actually. It was delivered Saturday, so it's good.
Yeah, so maybe tomorrow or so you will start receiving it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David is, he actually formed his own party because he is not happy with the current two major parties, how they deliver services
it's very hard to persuade Labor or National to cut house prices, because who is going to vote for that?
Yeah.
I think New Zealand is in big trouble, but that's my theory.
But the more you talk about it, the more people can hear it and learn what it is, then that's an eye-opener.
I think politics has become professional. Unlike your president, who actually believes in something, there's a lot of politicians in this country that don't have any policies. I was speaking to one candidate in the mayoral race, and he came up to me and said, look, the media can't figure me out because I've got no policies. He told me he had no policies. He was proud of it. Unbelievable.
And so, Vincent, what are you doing at the moment, aside from graduation?
Graduation will be held on Tuesday, and then, praise God, I have an interview lined up tomorrow.
Great.
At 10 a.m. So fingers crossed, everything goes well with that. I'm moving towards facilities or property management, so more of dealing with commercial buildings and just assisting with managing those tenancies and properties over at the commercial sector. But it's just an assistant role, just to gain sort of experience at that time. But as I gain that experience, I will be
using to further your
exactly.
Did you not apply for council? We usually have a graduate program for
I haven't seen any roles specifically to the career path I want to go to, but I will definitely check it out.
Check it out because that is a very good stepping stone for young graduates.
Absolutely.
You are trained at all departments. You will pick up, obviously, the good ones, but you will pick up some bad ones. But at least you know the workings of...
Definitely. And it's more of a learning process, I would say. But as you know, like I said, as long as I get that experience, that's really what's gold to me.
Yeah, that's great. And Jaffi, how long will you stay in New Zealand this time?
For 2 weeks.
Only?
Yeah, two
and
weeks
back
only.
To Sydney.
And we're coming back... November last week.
Oh, great.
So I'm coming back.
Yeah, definitely. And you will share with us more about what you do in your life as a second generation Filipinos who are succeeding in their lives and in their careers in a foreign country, especially New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah. Which country is better?
you have a choice of three.
You got three choices.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Sydney and Australia.
Yeah,
Sydney and Auckland.
Yeah, because she is very lucky enough to have a father and a mother who are business people and rolling in money into the family coffers. And she said,
I'm learning.
all we can wish for with this second generation Filipinos in New Zealand or Kiwi Nois is to hopefully we have to keep the tradition going and the Filipino culture going. We don't lose track of that. And you guys have to really be a leader on that, so we're still nice and active in New Zealand.
Yeah,
you know. community.
That's right. And also, aside from that, attending to your own personal improvements and development and family welfare, etc., let us all be engaged in community. This country in that we are living now, in its in our communities, not only the Filipino, but the Kiwi community, and what is happening, so we are aware, and then we can articulate and participate to make it better.
Yes.
We cannot just listen to, because Papa is national, so I will have to vote national. Or, Papa is labor, so I will have to vote labor. But did you know the policies or not? No, you don't. Sometimes it's hereditary. Oh, never mind. Because I'm lazy to read that thing. Oh, never mind. I seen him once before. He might be good. Or look at the voting
paper. It's very funny how you say that, Tita Verge, because I think in the good old days, the old school, we just follow what our parents does. But right now, the new generation, these young Kiwi Filipinos, that you can't tell them what to do. They have their own. They speak. They speak their mind. They have their own. What do you call it? How they do things, and they actually believe on what they truly believe, and that's what they're going for. And because I have a son who's 26, and you can't tell him what to do. You know, he rationalized everything. He put logistics into it. And I said, I'm your mother, you just listen to me. That's what I said. Oh, and then here we go. I said, this boy should be a lawyer rather than, you know, a program engineer. But they're very intelligent. They're very intelligent. And they, you guys are the future of our country, of the earth, actually, of our planet. So
definitely.
It's very easy to get information now, isn't it? I mean,
exactly.
Every child has access to a huge information source, i.e.
absolutely.
The internet, from very, very early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're relying on these young children now, the new generation, to see us through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like these young ones now, the four of them.
So no pressure.
They are old.
No pressure, everybody. Okay? Just, stay strong and stay true to yourself. Yes. All right. Oh. And I think we're running out of time.
We're running out of time.
When you're enjoying yourself, you always forget the time.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
So we're having a Philippine tour next year. So we're inviting all Kiwis here, our Filipinos that we would like to join our Philippine pilgrimage and holiday tours next year, April 2020, with Father Ruben Ilago.
Oh, that's great! Awesome. Father Ruben is a very good tour leader.
So, yes.
We will expound on that more the next time.
Next time,
we are
yes.
on air. So, thank you very much, Jaffe and Vincent, to Michael and Harry, and of course, David.
Thank you very much, Virge, for having me.
Awesome. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
awesome.
You. Your voices were not heard.
Come on, you.
Say hello and goodbye to everyone.
Say hello,
thank
goodbye.
You, have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. We ran out of time again. Yes, and Tita Verge, thanks for our sponsors this afternoon. And of course,
Planet Earth Travel, JNM Foods and Butchery Limited, Wilson West, New Zealand Home Loans Masi, ISM New Zealand Limited, at iba pang sponsors. At siyempre pa, ang iba naming mga kasama, especially Young Shine, who was our MC today.
Been busy.
Been busy.
Yes. And of course, thank you sa nakikinig ng ating avid listeners, Ate Lulit and of course Susan Shadwick. Thank you so much for always listening to our program. Thank you po.
And have a blessed Sunday to all the Bicolanos all over the world.
Yes.
And every devotees of the Lady of Peña Francia, no matter what color you are, what religion, we all love you and you love us.
Yeah, and thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Good luck on the election.
Thanks to all of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you all very much. And you have a good night. And we'll see you next weekend.
Magandang gabi po.
Magandang gabi.